Okay, now listen, if you start hearing a bunch of like guttural bass sounds or percussion or anything like that, I'm just gonna warn you right now. It's literally happening beneath my butt, but I'm in a, you know, I'm in a carpeted closet that's like built on cement, so hopefully you don't hear Glass Job pre-production.
I can't hear anything right now.
Okay, good. If you do, sorry.
Just in case you haven't been paying attention for the last 55 episodes, this is a podcast hosted by two women who fucking lock themselves in a room for an hour and pray that nobody comes in. I don't think we've ever not had an interruption or not had something going on in the exterior ever.
Ever. There's door creaks and knocks and shufflings and children asking for their butts to be wiped and, but mommy, I'm hungry, where's the snack? And you're like, but didn't I ask you not to come in here? And like, honestly, Amanda, the way you clean it up, you know, it sounds like we were in here just having a good old time on a couch with a cocktail.
Right.
When in reality, it was just like, it's constant. Like, I'm in the microphone and I'll hear that door creak and I'll look at the door and you'll be talking. I won't even be focused on what you're saying. And then sometimes you'll hear me come back to the conversation like, yep, yeah. That means I didn't hear shit because I was going, fuck, move, out, out, shut the door, shut the door.
Yeah, yeah. The not looking back, but the throwing of the arm with that like hand up, like, get out.
Yeah,
get
yeah, out, out. Shh, shh, shh. And it's like, you guys, we've been doing this for a year. Our families should be well adjusted to this time. You know what I'm saying? Like when Justin's in the studio, no one goes knocking on the door and goes, Daddy, can you wet my butt? Daddy, can I have Cheerios? Daddy, Daddy. No one does that. We're all up here just, you know, listening to the noise. But I'm podcasting and all of a sudden it's, they need all the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I even asked Justin, I said, can you maybe from this time, not, like, can you make that dinner time with the engineer? Because me and Amanda got a podcast, and he's like, okay, that's interesting. You know, like, you know, time is money.
That was cold.
Like, well, the engineer's here. He's like, what do you want from me? He's like, you want me to stop so that you can do your little free podcast? No, he didn't say that, but
he needs the man or woman needs to be fed.
Listen, I know. I brought the dinner home. And I was like, look, I brought the dinner home at 6:45 because knowing we were going to start 7-ish. And I was like, here's the dinner. Why don't you guys have a nice dinner? Here, let me set this up. But they went right back. They like scarfed it down and went right back to work. Anyway, it was good. It worked out anyway because you weren't ready. Why did your dad come by?
Because my refrigerator decided to stop working again. Just randomly. Chris opened it up and it was off. And so
oh,
he
no,
went
not warm Topo Chico.
I know. I see you're now on the Topo Chico. Did you buy some?
No, but I just saw the branding was really cute.
It's very cute. But no, so let's see. Today's Tuesday. So on Sunday, it tripped the breaker like 4 times in 15 minutes. And it's been literally 3 weeks. It was like 3 weeks to the day when my dad first came over and they changed the breaker downstairs.
Okay, I was about to say, I thought he changed the breaker.
Yeah, $150 later, because I didn't realize how expensive those shits were. I thought that was like a $10 fix. No, $150 later, they fixed it, so we thought. And it starts tripping again. So, like I always do whenever I have a home problem, I called my dad, and I was like, do you have any idea why this would all of a sudden be doing this again? And so he kind of like noodled through it for a minute and he was like, I'm not really sure. He's like, this is kind of out of my depth and I'm not really sure. He was like, you know, if I were you, I would probably call an electrician and have them come out. And so now I just hear dollar signs.
Yeah.
Because electricians are so expensive.
But I'm also upset because this is a brand new goddamn fridge.
And that's the other thing. So then it was like, okay, well, do I call an electrician out here? And my dad even brought this up. He's like, you're going to pay like $150 for an electrician to come out and take a look. And then if it's the fridge, now you've just spent $150 for him to tell you it's the fridge. So now you got to call Best Buy to come out. So anyways, my dad, being my dad, gets on the Google. And I wake up to a text and an email the next morning that was like, hey, I found this YouTube video. This is actually a really common problem, and I just have to change out the outlet or the breaker or something. I don't know what it is for this different thing, because when you have a cycling appliance, like a sump pump or a refrigerator where it's like kicking on and kicking off, it can do something to the breaker that will cause it to trip, because that cycle that happens, I guess there must be like a surge of power that turns on that cycling motor. And I'm probably getting this all wrong, but needless to say, he found it on YouTube, found a couple examples of somebody saying this is really, really common and this happens a lot with refrigerators. And so he got the part. And when I came home, he was sitting on my sofa talking to Chris about whatever. And but I will say, since we've talked about it before, he did have his sixth chemo treatment, and he goes tomorrow, Wednesday, to get his little scans. Yay. So I'm hoping that we get good news tomorrow.
That's a big deal. Dude, I feel like he only recently got diagnosed. We're just moving right along.
Yeah. When they set forth the plan and they were, you know, they recommended six treatments to start, and you start doing the math in your head. And I remember being like, oh my God, that we're going to be like halfway through this summer. This is so far away. But, you know, he's like walking 3 miles a day. He showed up to my house on Sunday, and I was like, he had a tan. Like, he is mentally and physically doing so much better. They ran like, they do blood tests before his chemo every time to check like white blood cell counts. And there is a tumor marker that they look for. And when he started, it was a 32. This is a CEA. So if anybody in here has had somebody with cancer. So they look for this thing called a CEA. It was 32 when they first tested. When they took the test again halfway through treatment, it was to 15. And when they did it 2 weeks ago, it was 9. And normal is 5.
Hold on a second. How'd he go from 30 to 200 back down to 9?
No, he was at 30 and then he came to 15. And now he's to 9.
You said it came to 15.
Yes.
I thought you meant 215. I was like, hold on.
No.
I was like, you telling me real bad news. I'm confused. Okay. Oh, okay. So 30 down to 15,
yeah.
Down to 9.
Yeah.
And the goal is 5.
5 and under. Mm-hmm.
So he's taking to it.
Yes. And what's even more encouraging is when they did the halfway scan, and they gave him, you know, the news that his tumor was shrinking. They said, you know, 50% of people that receive this treatment have no response. So the fact that my dad had, you know, that response, and the fact that his tumor was so fucking giant, my dad was like, a 15% reduction in this size of tumor would be like, because most people just have small, you know, they're not as advanced. So anyways, that's all to say, if anybody was looking for an update, yeah, he's doing fantastic.
And so when do you get the news?
I think that we'll know tomorrow, because he has to be in bright and early. They'll do the scan, and then he has to go straight from the hospital to his oncologist office, and they'll tell him like what the results are. They're measuring the tumor size, and so the goal is to operate and cut it out. And so they have to shrink it first, because it was so large. I don't know if I explained this before, but like his liver was almost like completely split in half. The tumor was so big.
Wow. Like sitting on top of it.
Yeah, like right down the center. So if your liver looks kind of like a football, kind of.
Bifurcation. Is that what it's called? Bifurcation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I just said that.
Yeah, basically, like splitting it right in half. It was stunning to see a picture of it from the CT scan.
Was it physically noticeable from the outside, like in the stomach area?
Yeah, so he could feel it and your liver sits like on your right side, and so he could feel it bulging out of his rib cage, and he could feel like I don't know what was rubbing, but like he couldn't breathe. He could feel something rubbing on his rib cage. He was having terrible indigestion because all of his, like, do you remember when you were like so far pregnant that like everything yeah. hurt and it felt like it was in your throat? That's how he felt.
Because because your organs are all like jacked up because yeah. you're carrying this giant placental sac and it's mm-hmm. putting pressure on everything.
Like, I remember watching him struggle to put his shoes on one day. And I was like, now you know how it feels to be pregnant. I was like, Dad, everything yeah. that you're feeling right now is exactly, not that that helps, but.
Yeah, you were like, does your spleen hurt? Do you even know what your spleen is? No, but you know it hurts, right? Yes. Right. So wait, when throughout the six treatments.
Yeah.
He's like responded to it well to where like he can leave the treatment and go on about his life, or did he need to go home and lay down?
He's fucking Iron Man. I mean, the first 2 days, so he would get treatment on Wednesday and then treatment would be like in office, and then they hooked him up to a pump, and then he would have the pump until Friday, and he'd go in Friday like around lunchtime to the hospital, they'd take the pump off, and then, you know, 2 weeks, and then he'd go back. So by the time I think Friday evening hit, like the steroids that they give you to make you feel good started to wear off.
Yeah.
And so Saturday and Sunday were kind of touch and go. He would have just nausea or a little bit of fatigue, some dizziness, some neuropathy. But like really for all of that, like we were talking tonight, I was like, you really have been very fortunate in it hasn't been as extreme and as debilitating as what I had right. built it up to be in my mind.
Well, I was about to say from the first time we learned about this
mm-hmm.
to now your leveling of anxiety about it and the way you talk about it is completely different.
It like, feels different.
Like you were getting a positive resolution, and also like over time you've gotten like an acceptance.
Yeah. I mean, to be quite honest, the weekend that I found out that he had a tumor, I was like, my dad's not going to be here for Christmas. I mean, that's morbid and that's gross. And I hate but
you're human, shit.
Yeah. And like, so...
You've got cancers, then not exactly you've got mail. Shit, he's just fucking stressful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, there were so many uncertainties, and there was so much that felt out of my control. And, you know, it was triggering
all of my... And in a pandemic.
I know. Like, my biggest worry... It's so funny. Like, my biggest worry was getting him fucking vaccinated. And then, like, 3 weeks later, they were like, you have cancer. And I was like, God damn
it. No, but you know
it.
What? That was the best thing you could have done for his ass, because you didn't know at the time, even though he was elderly. Sorry, Arthur, if you're listening. Not elderly. You know I didn't mean that, Arthur. You know, he was older.
Yeah.
And this whole time, that was lurking inside his body. Y'all didn't know, but he was immunocompromised, and y'all didn't know. Yeah. So you had to do that. That was probably one of the greatest gifts.
Ugh, shit. So...
was dragging him all around every Walmart when he got that shit. That was probably one of the greatest gifts. For real.
Oh, I'm so glad. Because I was reading stories the other day about people like having to pause treatment in order to get vaccinated, and the things that can happen like when you're going through cancer treatment, and like, you know, and as it relates to COVID, like the timing was fortunate and serendipitous.
Yeah, and you know what else too? It is good that it was urgent and immediate, because mm-hmm. not to be a doomsday, doom and gloom, here she comes. Oh, Melissa's gonna
Debbie Downer.
Melissa's gonna crowbar it in. She's, you know, I'm so glad your dad's feeling better, because that motherfucking wave of Delta is gonna make it so that motherfuckers who need help that are vaccinated and broke their pinky toe can't get treatment, because it's all kind of coughing going on in there. So this is...
he did say
you
that...
You know I couldn't help it.
No, he said when they made his appointment, they were like, we've got to squeeze you in because they're having this influx of people coming in requiring mm-hmm. testing because they could not get it last mm-hmm. year. And I think that that's the other terrifying thing, is that people were putting off or just couldn't receive things that they needed that could be life-saving because of COVID. So
yeah, because the hospital was overwhelmed with COVID. And the thing is that it doesn't have to be like, and that's the part that people, that again, with the messaging. If you would have said, guys, we need to keep our COVID cases down because we need our hospitals up and running for regular shit.
Mm-hmm.
We have people in this country that need cancer treatment. We have people in this country that are having babies, okay? We need the hospital safe to go to. So everybody's got to do their part and be vaccinated. That's why I'm loving this new wave of vaccine anti-vax regret. Ooh, girl, I love it. I click on it every time. I really regret it. I'm from the ventilator. Okay, girl. Love that. Yo ass. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's really, I'm like so happy to hear that.
Yeah. I'm so happy, and he's feeling good, and the just the change that, you know, that I've seen happen just personality wise. Well, you had a very special personal day today. How was the beach? I'm so jealous.
Oh my gosh. A personal day. That sounds so crazy. But I did. Friend of the show, Jen. My friend Jen has a little cabana down at the beach where, you know, if her kids are at camp, she can ride down and, you know, just sit and enjoy the quiet, which is a very, very rare thing.
Yeah.
So, she was just like, a couple of us are going down there on a Tuesday afternoon. Do you want to join us? And I was like, on a Tuesday?
That is luxury. You know, yes.
Because, you know, I'm clocked in QuickBooking by on Tuesday morning. So I said, you know what, though? I'm taking a personal day. I have not had time to just sit and relax and not worry about what a kid is doing, not worry about what Justin Beck is doing, not worry about what this house is looking like. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and take from 11 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
My kids get home at 3:30. I'm going to take from 11 to 2 time for myself to just sit and chat with moms I like, or don't chat, because she was like, you know, bring a book. Sometimes, you know, we get quiet and scroll through our phone. It's just, you know, sitting in the sun is what it is. But it was really nice. And also, the Coast Guard suddenly was there with a helicopter. And then there was a lot of rumbling and running around. And then we get home and we see on the news that there was a shark sighting. And I was like, see, every time. And this is why, listen, every time I motherfucking leave the house, what happens? This is why I'm the way that I am. We were talking about the water, and one of the moms there was like, oh, well, I don't want to walk all the way back to the cabana to go pee. If I have to go pee, I'll go pee in the ocean. At which point I said, hold on. And Claire, who listens to the podcast, was like, oh, here we go. She was like, white lady things. And I was like, what do you mean you go in the ocean and pee? And she's like, you go in the ocean and pee.
That's what you do. Okay. But you don't do that?
I don't go in the ocean.
Not even like up to your knees and then just like squat down to pee?
Listen, as a matter of fact, the lady that said she pees in the ocean deck said, the key is don't squat, because everybody knows what you're doing when you squat. She said, you just got to go out there.
But yeah, but then you're like waist deep and now you got to contend with like the waves coming in.
And drinking your piss. Listen, yeah, it was something. It was a whole new thing I learned. And everybody was like, they were like, you didn't know that? I was like, I did not know that. And then I don't know how else it came up, but there was another conversation about going into lakes.
Yeah.
And at least I had Jen on my side. Jen was like, yeah, I don't, what if, you know, something enters your body? And everybody's like, nothing's going to enter your body. They're like, what do you mean? You think something's going to, like a frog's going to fly into your vagina? And I was like, no, but a brain eating amoeba. And Jen was like, thank you. So it was restorative, fun mom day. I met another one of my mom friend's moms. I love meeting like older ladies.
Yeah.
And like the older lady that this lady comes from, because it's always like, wow, that connects a lot of dots. And she was really cute and little and like I left there looking for a date for her. She's like, let me know if you find somebody.
Aww.
And I was like, 50 and up and maybe straight, girl. I'm going to find it for you. So it was a really nice day. I ate fresh fruit. Ooh. As the waves crashed. It was just a fabulous day.
I'm so jealous. So how far, like, to go to this beach, how far do you have to drive?
Not even 25 minutes.
Oh, my God. The opulence. The luxury.
Girl, I am everything.
You are. Yes.
And she had the cutest. Her cabana was Robin's Egg Blue. You know that blue.
Yes, it's my favorite. It's my blue.
Yes, actually. Girl, it's your blue. I'm going to ask her to send me a picture. So all of the cabanas are that color. Aww. And then you go in and there's a little shower in there and they've set it up perfect. But then she put a little fridge in their cabana, you know, for mm-hmm. cold drinks, whatever, for when they bring the kids on the weekend.
Yeah.
The fridge was a vintage, I think the brand was Galans, something like that. A baby vintage fridge in the same exact color. So it was a pretty little vintage ice box. It was very Amanda. It was very cute.
Okay, wait a minute. So I think my definition of cabana is different than your definition of cabana. So what is it? What is this? Because I'm thinking like open to the elements, and there's like a shelter where I can go sit inside and get away from the sun. Is this like an actual house?
Okay, so on Long Island, you can't. Families have been doing it since the dawn of man. I think Justin's mom used to do it when he was little. Mm-hmm. So you put your name on a list to get into the lottery because nobody is leaving this cabana.
Yeah.
Like once there are families that just have the cabana for hella years. Mm-hmm. So once you get your name on the list and you win that lottery, you can renew for however long as you want. And that cabana is yours. But at the end of the season, you have to take all your shit out and then come back and you set it up. So it's a little mini house. They're little houses side by side. Little tiny, let's see. You can put an 8x10 rug on your little porch. And then it's 8x10 inside. And there's a shower. There are shelves. They have a section for toys. What? They have the baby fridge. They have a dustbuster. They have a broom. It's basically, you know, and then you drag all your shit down to the beach.
It's so like a tiny house for the beach.
Yes. And then you drag all your shit down to the beach in the little, they call it the schlepper. They're so Long Island. And then you sit, you look at the water, you come back, you take a quick shower, you hop in your car, you go back home. And all your beach shit is there.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Yeah. And everybody decorates their little beach, you know, with chuggy signs. But they're like good chuggy because... You know, life's a beach.
Mermaid hair, don't care.
Yeah. Beach rules, must relax.
I'm on island time.
Yep. I'm an outdoorsy person in that I get drunk at the beach. Like, all the signs like that. And they have cute little starfishes and shells hanging on the wall. You can decorate it as you want. Theirs was very minimalist. It was very cute. It was just the Tiffany box blue. It said beach rules. Have fun, eat a dick. It didn't say that, but that would be amazing. but it was really, really amazing, and I was just so thankful that she invited me because I would not have gone to just driven to the beach and sat there.
Yeah.
On my own, you know, without an invitation or like. It was really nice. I ate a little gummy. I had some sushi.
Oh.
I dug my toes in. We talked about who's vaccinated and who's not. Honey, it was a time.
That sounds so fun.
It's nice. And, you know, summer's not over yet. Maybe we can squeeze another one in.
Yeah, you totally should. It's so close. There's no reason not to.
Yeah. But you got to have, you know, you got to know somebody who knows somebody. It's not like you could just roll up in there.
Yeah.
But, you know me. I'd be knowing people. No, I'm kidding. I don't know anyone.
But the people that you do know have a beach cabana, and that's really all that matters.
Every single person I know is lovely on their own, but also enriches my life with the things that they know about. And I hope that I'm a friend that enriches their life with the things that I know about. So,
of course you do.
It works out.
And then you got time with my favorite Megan, too.
Friday. Friday she came and sat on my couch and she was, you know, just my little kitty cat. And she had just gone to Vermont with her kids. She's like that. She's a lake person.
Yeah.
So she had just gone to Vermont with her kids and came back. And when she goes to Vermont, you know, she sends me a text with a link mm-hmm. to the weed place. And is like, here's the menu. Let me know. And then I just, you know, send her my order and then wait for her return. So
nice. Is Vermont like recreational or is it medical only? Do you know?
I don't know, but I think my Megan has a car. I don't know. But she brought back some cool shit.
Oh, did she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I know that some places like I think your medical card can be reciprocal. But
what's that mean?
Like you could use it in Ohio, but then you could also go to Michigan. But Michigan's recreational now, so it doesn't matter. But like
okay.
I know people that will like drive up to Michigan because the prices are better. Like, I guess when it becomes recreational, your prices get better. And I think state to state, your prices get better. I follow the Reddit for the Ohio medical marijuana information. And
yeah. Oh, because you're waiting for recreational.
It would be so much better. I mean, I'll renew my medicinal card in the fall, but it would be, I think the options would probably be better if it was recreational, but I don't think that living in a red state, that's going to happen.
Girl, Governor DeWine. Girl, a red state would get you every time. Man, there was a time in my life where I liked DeWine. Can't lie.
Same.
I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. He's a little Republican gnome, but he's doing the right thing, so I'm gonna fuck with him. And then mm-hmm. he started to not do the right thing.
So yeah.
Wait, what do you mean your selection's like shitty? Like it's CBD selection? Like what kind of?
It's not bad. It's just the product. There are certain brands. And what I didn't realize is that the variety, like from what I understand, most of the stuff that is available to us here is Ohio weed.
Grown.
So,
right.
Yeah. So like I'll see people's pictures like, somebody was like complaining the other day that there were too many stems on their nuggets. Like, I'm not that much of a, you know, I don't care.
Oh, no, baby, I care. Don't come in here with no little raggedy shit over here. Not if I'm paying all this money. Oh, so you're not smoking what Wiz Khalifa smokes.
I mean, I don't know. I just look it up on Leafly. And then if it sounds like it, like it's going to be a suitable fun time, then I'll try it. I like to try new stuff every time I go back. I like to try a couple different, like a sativa, an indica, and a hybrid. And sometimes I'll get maybe two hybrids, a sativa and an indica. I like to get a couple different edibles to try.
Well, but judging from the lives, you've been having some good strains because, bitch, you get high.
The one that I've had on the lives recently is called Melonade, and it's by Cresco Labs. And Cresco is one of the best here in Ohio. But do you know what I did the other day? I have a chocolate bar. And I broke off a square and I dropped it into my coffee and it was so nice.
Oh, that's like advanced stoner shit.
I felt like that was very like grown lady, like that was a nice thing to do for myself.
100%. I'm scared of like edibles daytime, you know, because I'm like.
You have to be careful. Yeah.
Well, I didn't have to be careful today.
But in general, you have to be. I think that people forget that you have to wait. I always like to do it with an empty stomach because I feel like I know I can predict how I'm going to react and how soon I'm going to react versus like having a meal and then doing it. Like that's a little tricky.
See, I just don't be trusting edibles in general. I like to just smoke my shit. Speaking of that, she came back with a great cartridge for me to put on a pen.
Yeah.
We know I've been trying to get away from a pen, but, you know.
You like what you like.
What is it? Habits, die hard. Whatever the fuck it is. Die hard habits, whatever. Whatever the thing is I'm trying to say. So she was like, this cartridge didn't come with a pen at the time. She's like, but we can just go grab a pen from any head shop, whatever. Just go find us one. So she came to visit. We hopped in the car, and I sent her in her mask in the store to get a pen. And for some reason, I charged the pen, and the pen didn't work, and I just sat here with the Vermont weed for 3 days with it not working, thinking when I get a chance I'll run to the head shop that I ran to, and I'll, you know, replace the pen. And I have recommended many people to go to this head shop. It's a CBD shop, but, you know, it has, like, you know, weedy stuff in there.
Yeah.
But I had never gone in there, but it's really pretty. Whatever. She's like, no, it was really great. There was, like, a really nice gay guy in there. He had a dog. It was da-da-da. So today I went over there. I specifically got ready to go to the beach early, and I wanted to have this pen just in case, you know, so I could be discreet, go off. Guys, I'm gonna dip my toes in the water, and then, you know. So I ran to the store to be like, hey, I got this pen. I don't know if it doesn't work, but I tried the cartridge on, you know, the engineer had a pen. Mm-hmm. It was just like, why don't you put the cartridge on my pen and see if it works? And I was like, man, you are just a troubleshooter. You know,
yeah.
From our early days of podcasting. He's just a troubleshooter. I was like, you know, because he was already here making all his goddamn noise. And I was like, let me stop you for a second and ask you a question. Is this cartridge faulty or is it the pen? He's like, let me see. And he's like, yep, it's the pen.
Yeah.
So.
I bet he was really thankful you weren't asking him to help us with our podcast.
He actually asked today over dinner. He was like, how's the podcast going? And I was like, girl, we got ads. He's like, okay. And I was like, and we're like sound maestros now. And Justin was like, dude, they are pretty. They're fucking it up. They're doing good. So we got our little positive affirmation from the two guys who used to be like, yeah, your sound sucks. So I go in there. So I went to go knock on. I went to go open the door. And it was a big ass motherfucking dog. Megan said there was a dog in there. I thought it would be like, I thought it would be like a poodle ass dog on someone's lap. Because it's a fucking CBD store. It's a head shop with like rattan chairs and shit in it. Kind nice. It was a giant labradoodle.
Oh, no.
And labradoodles are scary because like they're fluffy, but also giant.
Yeah.
And skinny and long.
And they're always poorly behaved. They're always poorly behaved. My Girl. Neighbor has one, and that thing drags her ass down the street every day.
Dude, why is their gait like that? Like, motherfucker, are you drunk?
I really feel like, and I think the guy, I read an article recently, the gentleman that like thought that this was a good idea to mate.
Regrets it.
Yes. He was like, this was a terrible idea. Do not get these dogs.
He was like, yeah, I didn't think that one through, this Frankenstein ass dog. The man who invented the motherfucker.
I know. He's like, don't do it anymore.
So the dog is like screaming, barking at the door. And
no.
So this is how my day is starting. I'm going to the beach. I'm so cute. I've oiled up. I've shaved my legs. I found a bathing suit that, you know, okay, I look like Snooki, but so. I felt good about my outfit. You know, I did, you know, because I don't go anywhere. I did a white button down, loose. I did satin basketball shorts, black. I did, you know, I was looking cute. I was looking very Mary Kate and Ashley. And then I had my glass jaw duffel bag. I mean, you couldn't tell me shit. I was out there doing fashion, honey. So I had all my shit in the bag. The dog was barking. So I just stayed outside the door waiting for the man to come open the door. Like, okay, surely he's going to put the dog away and then open the door. Instead, I saw a hand come and grab the dog's neck and was like, hey, oh, and you know how you whites do. Oh, what'd he say, Amanda?
He's nice. He doesn't bite. He just barks.
Yep. Oh, my God. He's so friendly. Don't even worry about it. I was like, okay, you say that. But this could make or break Cujo. My fucking day. You could make or break my fucking day right now, sir. So I'm going to need you to put that dog in the back. I didn't say that. I had on two masks and I was like, oh, my God, no worries. I'm not worried about that dog. Inside, I'm fucking worried about the dog.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So he holds the dog, whatever. I take out the pen. I explain it. I was like, I don't have a receipt. I sent my girlfriend in here. You might remember if you want to run the tape back. He's like, it's not that serious. I was like, I don't get out much. Just excuse me. So, you know, he's troubleshooting the pen, whatever. And apparently the instructions in the pen say that when you would like to start it, you need to click it 5 times. I was like, oh, I just skipped that part. Okay. So he got my pen working. I met up with Jen. Went to the beach. It was really fabulous on a Tuesday.
I'm so happy for you. Look how good your life is these past couple days. You were like living.
Bitch. Fabulous. My curls been on and popping. My body dysmorphia I don't have time to think about it.
It's because your brain's being taken up by spreadsheets.
Yes. You know what? Listen, I feel like I have not been in, you know, what people consider the regular workforce. Mm-hmm. For since Shalom was, 15 months old, whatever it was.
Tiny.
When I stopped working altogether. So yeah. A decade. Let's say a decade. So now, like, having people who rely on me and having, like, a one company goal and, like, feeling good about the work. Some of it is, you know, spreadsheets. But, like, I am feeling, like, really accomplished and smart and and needed and useful and resourceful, and I'm a problem solver and my brain is working, and I've had to let go of a lot of dumb shit that I was worried about a lot because that was my job. My job was the household. So I was worried about a lot of dumb shit that happened in the household and I wanted to be good at that. But now I need to be good at this, so I can't focus on that. So it hasn't been unchallenging, but working, I feel like now that I'm looking at a house full of school-aged kids, this was the perfect time.
Yep.
For that.
This was the exact... I mean, it couldn't have worked out any better, honestly.
Right. Right.
And you're in a position where you, it's almost like the best of both worlds, because your employer knows that you're a mom and that that's also important to you. So you have that ability. I think that that's so hard. You know, there's that meme floating around that, like, we expect women to work like they don't have children and expect them to raise children like they don't have to work. And to find that, like, perfect place where you can do both and feel fulfilled in both places and have that flexibility is, like, that's, like, the unicorn job.
Yeah, and I remember, like, working when Shalom was, when I went back to work and Shalom was a baby, and being terrified that, you know, the daycare was going to call and I'd have to leave and I'd have to explain to my boss why I got to leave. Like, that, just that added emotional dread of having to justify and explain my life as a mother.
Yes. That's horrible.
Yeah, I don't have, well, who going to check me? Who going to check? First of all, one of the bosses wants to fuck me, so. And the other boss is business partner. You know, I've been cool with him for 20 fucking years. So who is going to, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, and my direct boss, it was my first friend on Long Island. So who is going to check me? Okay. No, but I also am very, I'm also very conscientious. And like, she's like, you are like, even if you weren't you, she's like, you're a really good employee. So like, you know, she's like, you over explain mistakes you don't have to explain because you fixed them before anybody noticed them. Because, you know, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
And she was like, and you're just really thorough. So, like, it's great. And she was like, and also you speak the language of the company because you are the company.
Yeah, you're in it.
Yeah. So, like, I understand. Like, you wouldn't know what check the bouncing ball means, but I know what that means. But, yeah, you haven't been in, like, a regular 9-to-5-ish job since you had kids?
Melissa, I'm tired. No, I haven't. I fully anticipated to stay in the job that I had. And then, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, they eliminated my position the week that I was coming back to work. They brought me into a meeting 2 days before my start date, and they were like, hey, by the way, and this was 2009, March 2009. So if you guys remember, if you're old enough, it was like 2008 was a rough year. So at my company, they started in November giving voluntary early retirements. And then depending on how many people voluntarily retired, then they were going to have to start making cuts based off of that.
Okay.
I thought I was safe. I was the only person in my position on my team doing the job. Nobody else could do it. But I guess they thought that my position was expendable. So they were like, hey, by the way, you don't have this job anymore. But to CYA, we're going to bring you back in here for 30 days. and there are other jobs available here to you. So why don't you go ahead and apply for those, and maybe you can get on another team.
And so I was they like, made it. They made it like they were gonna put you in some shit with no intention of putting you in some shit.
Basically, yes.
And at so this then point, you had a newborn.
Yes. And this job that I really was unhappy in, but was gonna stay until I could figure something out because I wasn't trying to like. You know, I wanted to be able to take my FMLA. I wanted to have, you know, that, like, it was just, like, it's too much, right? To, like, I got offered an interview to work for Perfetti Van Mel Airheads. They're here locally in Northern Kentucky. And I got, because I had been looking for a year to leave my job, and I had gotten this notification from a headhunter that they wanted me to come interview for this like managerial position for their creative department. And I just found out I was pregnant, and my dumb ass was like, I can't take a brand new job and be newly pregnant knowing that I'm going to like peace out here in 9 months. So I stayed in my job that was slowly sucking my soul, and then they eliminated it. So
wait, you could have worked at Airheads?
I could have.
I love that. That's how I, wait. You said all that, and I was like, yo, fuck your baby. You could have worked at Airheads. That is so, you know how much I fuck with Airheads, right?
I know.
Wait, you do know that?
Yes.
What's my favorite flavor?
Isn't it the White Mystery?
No, I hate White Mystery.
Oh, you do? Oh, no, I guess I don't know. What's your favorite flavor?
It's watermelon.
I was going to say grape.
I fuck with purple too. And there was an orange one. Tropical maybe?
Yeah.
That I cannot find anywhere.
Hmm.
So if you're ever in Kentucky and you see orange Airheads,
if I see one,
tropical,
I'll definitely, yeah, I'll get that for you.
See, the problem with Airheads, and this is why you should have worked there, because I could have directed my concerns to you, is they make variations of Airhead that don't taste like Airhead.
Like what?
So you know the bag of Airheads that are like giant, it's like a size between a yep. Skittle and a Mentos.
Yeah.
That weird middle ground size. Those mm-hmm. are supposed to taste like Airheads, and the casing makes them not taste like Airheads, so I don't trust it. I can only get the long Airheads. And another thing is the Airheads used to take up the whole sleeve, and now there's a half a little Airhead in that big ass sleeve, and the price is more.
Okay. It's funny that you say that, because do you think that the tiny M&Ms taste like the regular M&Ms?
No, they are bizarre.
Okay, they're so bad. They don't taste right.
They taste like little bits of plastic, yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. And you know what else too tastes weird?
What?
Starburst's unwrapped minis.
Different than the ones that are in the paper?
Correct. Oh. I can only eat the paper ones. Uh-uh.
Maybe it's that wax coating.
It is. Don't try to remix the shit if you ain't gonna make it taste right.
Right.
Don't do that. I don't want a variation of the shit. I want the shit.
Yeah.
You said I could have.
Yeah.
Man, you should have took that Airhead job.
Well, no, I didn't feel like, I mean, I know legally, right? I didn't have to say anything. And I know legally they couldn't deny me the job, but I just felt like there was so much up in the air, and it just felt like the safe thing to do, to stay in the job that I had. I was very unhappy. I had like had three different managers, and I really only liked the first one. I was like really happy when I started with the company, and then towards the end, I was just like, I was so over it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a blessing in disguise. And in the time where I was like trying to figure out what I was going to do, I was interviewing for jobs at this company, but then this woman who had been a designer at a place where I interned in college, she owned her own advertising agency with this other woman, and they had posted a job available. It was a part-time job doing design. And I thought, oh my God, maybe this is the answer. This is 20 hours a week. It's all women. There were only three women working in the office at the time. And I was like, this would be the perfect place where I can still work, because I still wanted to work in some capacity. But I can also have that time home with my kid.
Yeah.
So I did that until August of 2012, when my freelance business, which I had been like, for so long, I had been trying to freelance full time, and I just could not like make it happen to where I could like replace my full-time job income. And my freelance had gotten so crazy that I was like staying up all night to get my freelance work done because I had been at my day job all day and then came home and mommed, and then she went to bed and I would be up all night working, and then I would get up the next morning and go back to my day job. So I left that job in 2012, and then since then it's been like freelance graphic design, and you're constantly, you know, there'll be times where like I have so much work I can't hardly handle it, and then there's times where it's nothing's going on, and then I started
and you're
teaching.
Starting podcasts and shit.
I'm starting podcasts. I'm doing fitness stuff, and so it's like I've been for the last, you know, 9-10 years I've just been like piecemealing stuff together.
Yeah, but always making it work.
Always making it work, but like I'm tired of that like constant hustle. It's a constant hustle.
And a balancing act. Like you have to, like your brain is fractured into 20 different tasks at all times.
Right. Right. And so
So you just want to go to a place.
I just want to like have one thing to do. So I applied for a job on Friday, which is cool because it marries two things. Like it marries like all of the client management, vendor management, organization.
Hold on a second.
What?
That's a major development. So I applied for a job on Friday, but when was you going to plan on? What the fuck you mean?
I subscribe to this organization's emails, and this one came through and it was like, we're hiring for this job. And I was like, oh, I could do that. And I know the director. It's a nonprofit. I know the director of the chapter here. So yeah, I spent Friday. I dusted off my resume in between.
I was about to say, tell me what dusting off a resume is like, because I can't imagine.
It's exhausting because not only did I have to update a resume, which I don't remember the last time. Probably the last time I did it was when I took that advertising job in, you know, 2010.
Your resume was 11 years old?
Old as fuck. Yes.
I think they don't even call them resumes anymore.
Probably not.
They call it something else with letters.
A CV.
Yeah.
Curriculum vitae or whatever.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, curriculum would be like what, a list of like things that you've done. Vitae, I don't know what that means. VITAE, I think is how it's spelled.
I'm gonna start saying that. Would you like me to show you my CV?
CV.
Melissa, you don't have a CV. You don't know what I have. Don't worry about what I'm doing. So you got it out, and like, what's the four? Did you have to Google?
Yes.
Resume 2021.
Oh my God. I even Googled mom returning to workforce resume example because.
And it was like, and it was, you first get your pinking shears out. No.
Because I thought, you know, I know, like, I've never had a gap where I haven't been working, but I was like, do I need to explain, you know, why it's been kind of. And I also wanted to make sure that I was fully explaining, like, because on paper it doesn't necessarily make sense why I would apply for this job, but when you look at like the experience that I have in managing a small business and having to work, you know, one-on-one with clients and meet their needs, in addition to the work that I've done as a fitness instructor, this job combines both of those skill sets. And so I wanted to make sure that I was fully representing. So then I had to write a cover letter and explain why. Yeah.
Oh, damn. How hard was the cover letter?
Well, like I was thinking back to the last time I wrote a cover letter, and my cover letter was like very formal. And this one, I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to be very conversational here. And I had a personal story that I could tell that tied into the mission of this group. And so I thought, I'm going to tell a little bit of this story in why this thing is important to me personally. And then I'm going to tell you the experiences that I've had, you know, in my freelance business and in my group fitness business, and why this all comes together and makes me the best candidate for this. So fingers crossed.
So
we'll
wait
see
a
what
second.
Happens.
When you Googled cover letter.
Yeah.
So many things had changed because your first one was super technical and formal, and now they're like, oh, be yourself.
I don't know if that's what it said. That was just my approach. I thought I'm going to, because I felt like because the ideal candidate they said was going to have experience doing this thing. And because I didn't have experience doing this thing, I felt like if I could come at it with an emotional appeal of like, I really care about this and I care about this organization. And I think that this is a really good thing here locally as well as nationally. And it's for kids. So then I also kind of brought in like the mom aspect, and like, if you brought me on, you would have somebody that actually has like an emotional connection to this and really feels passionately about what it is that you guys do. And I may not have this exact experience, but what I lack in this exact experience, I do have in other places and in, you know.
Right. And you'll problem solve and adapt to the way that they work.
Yeah, I was like, my time management skills are phenomenal. You know, I work well under deadlines. I communicate with people and, you know, find out their needs and find ways to meet the needs in a creative, you know, solution. So hopefully they don't find this podcast.
Well, girl, the whole time I'm like, well, remember when we first started? I was like, you want to use your real name? You're like, yeah. I was like, are you sure?
Because apparently what happens is the applications go to like national HR, and then HR collects the ones that they think are right, and then they send them to the local chapter, and then the local chapter gets to review. So I just needed to get to my friend so that she can look at it and hopefully
girl, you better go advocate on all of our platforms and change strong to bong. They're gonna be looking for Amanda Bong.
I mean, that actually might, you know, Amanda Strong really works well in the fitness industry. Everybody's like, is that really your does real name?
I'm
like,
girl, yes. I thought you were faking too. I was like, look at this girl.
And to think I almost didn't change it. I didn't want to change my last name.
What?
I didn't. I waited a whole year. Didn't I tell you this?
No.
Because
you wanted to be the Gorton's fisherman forever?
Shut up. Oh, my God. Chris did that to me the other night. And I was like, don't even get me started. Because I was like, 10-year-old me is getting riled the fuck up.
The Gorton's fisherman. And you were like, first of all, it's Gordon. Duh, duh.
I am such a bully. Literally how I sound. That's literally how I sound. It's Gordon with a D. That's Gorton with a T. It's not the same thing. It's not funny. It's not Gordon's fish sticks.
And I just literally, every opportunity I get, ew, you wanted to be the Gordon's fisherman? Childish. No, what are you, crazy? Strong is a bomb-ass last name. What are you, fucking nuts?
Well, at the time, there was no boy to carry on the Gordon name. And my uncle had two girls, and they were much older than my sister and I, and they had both already been married and taken their husband's last names. And so I was like, well, I don't want the Gordon name to end like with my sister and I. So I thought I'll carry it on and I'll like hyphenate my kids like an asshole. And they'll also be Gordon Strongs. And then we went on a trip for our first year anniversary, and Chris booked the flight in my name, Amanda Strong. And I was like, what are you doing? I can't get on the plane with an ID that says Amanda Gordon. They're not going to do this. And he's like, well, I guess you have to change your name.
Hey! He knew exactly what he was doing. You want to keep fucking around on me, little bitch? You gonna change your name.
Yeah. So I had to drive to the Social Security office on my lunch break one day at work and wait in that line and change my shit over and forevermore. Yeah.
100%, girl. I was Melissa Beck before I was Melissa Beck. I was like, I know you're fucking around. You don't want to put a ring on it, but Melissa Beck, I already got that Gmail, bitch. So I had my thing set up.
Oh, my God. She's like, I've got the towels embroidered. I'm ready to go.
I feel so bad. I really do have Beck towels embroidered, though.
I know you do.
I feel so bad, though. I never thought about it that way. Dang, I just threw Shorty out to the wolves. Ain't no Howards. My brother's not going to get married. Ain't no Howards. Wow. You know what? No. When Marlene got divorced, she took her maiden name back.
Okay. So, but Kira doesn't have it.
Kira does not have it. Nope. Well, she never had it. She had her dad's name.
Right. But she could have multi-hyphenated.
That would have been doing way too much.
I know. It always gets cut off. That's the thing, too. Like, I was going to hyphenate it, and I was like, that shit always gets cut off in the mail. It never prints right. It never looks good, so.
You could have taken the hyphen off and just been Gordon Strong. No one has that.
Yeah. And then I could have gotten rid of my middle name, but I didn't want to get rid of my middle name because I'm weirdly attached to it for some reason.
Is it with one L?
No, two.
Okay. No, who wants to get rid of their middle name? In the Philippines, that's actually the custom.
Oh, really?
Is your middle name becomes your father's surname.
Oh.
No, your father's name. So my mom, I'm not saying that shit on the internet. Then like, you're going to go do a social
name?
Security scam. Yes. So my mom's middle name is a man's name.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I like that, though.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute. If Shira or if any of my girls have children, they can have their daughter and then, you know, say they name their daughter Bianca. Bianca Shorty, whatever the last name is. No, it'd actually be Bianca Justin or whatever.
I like Bianca Shorty. Can you imagine?
But you know what I mean? I have to, I feel like doing a disservice to all Filipinos. They're like, first of all, bitch, it's not that. I should have done my research before I started taking. But there is a thing that Filipino women do when they get married is they take their father's first name as their middle name. And then.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. So you definitely got the job.
I hope so. My fingers are crossed. I've been like saying this affirmation. What's for me will be for me. I don't have to chase it. So.
Okay, now wait. Is it a place you got to go into? Like, so you'll put all the kids on the bus, they'll get to school, and then you'll go to the place?
No, it's like a kind of a mix. So some from home, some from the office. Because I was asking, I was texting my friend, like, so what's the deal? Is this in the office, 5 days a week? What does this look like? And she's like, yeah, some in, some out. She said the closer we get to the event, you would need to be in because there's, a lot of moving parts and collaboration that happens coming up to the day of the event happening. So that's great. I really felt like last year was my year to kind of like refigure out what I was doing and like kind of I don't know, I think when you have kids, especially if you're staying at home, whether you're working from home or you're a stay-at-home mom full-time, there's always that like deadline of like, okay, so when my last kid goes off into school and is there mm-hmm. all day, what do I do with myself? Because mm-hmm. someday they're going to leave your ass. And if you didn't do anything, what do you do?
And people start asking you. So like when they know that your last kid is off to school, they're like, so what are you going to do next? And like a part of you is stank that they ask that shit.
What do you mean? I got to go get a job.
Yeah. And then the other part of you is like, bitch, I don't know.
Yeah, because in some cases, like I like graphic design, but it doesn't excite me the way, like, I get excited when I do stuff for the podcast and I get excited like doing little one-off projects, but like, making a financial website is kind of soul-sucking at this point. Like, I'm just not into it like I was before. So I think it's time for a change, and I don't want to go back to school. So I think that, I think a
lot
of women.
And is it in your town?
Yes. It's so close to my house, too.
I mean, that'll be perfect.
Yeah. So fingers crossed. And, all the kids are going to be in school. COVID kind of fucked it up. So there wasn't really any option for me to do anything last year with the kids being home, at least for the first part of the year. And Lennox, a three-quarter day is not like you can't really get that much done.
No. It's a fucking waste of your time.
Yeah. So this is my year. This will be it.
So, okay, but then you have to, for your in-office stuff, like, you got to dust off your working lady outfit. Like, are you going to wear taupe heels? Like, what are we talking about?
I don't have to. I think because this organization is in the fitness realm, I think it's very casual.
Oh, like, so you can go in there in your outfits.
I think I can go in like leggings and like a sweatshirt. Like, like elevated athleisure, right?
Okay, I feel like that episode was cut off a little abruptly, but it had to be because we had all of our children coming in and out of the door, doors creaking, mommy, mommy, mommy. A lot of shuffling and rifling and whatever, but you're used to it by now. We try to get it out as much as we can, but you know, we're real people, real moms with real kids, a whole bunch of them. So anyway, thank you so much for listening to the show and for coming and supporting us every week on the Monday Night Lives, which you know are happening at 8 p.m. Eastern now. You can find any of the information you'd like to know about the show on our website, imperfectstrangerspodcast.com. Our Instagram is super important, imperfectstrangers_podcast. There you'll get the interactive story, which, you know, is a nice way to have visuals that go with the podcast week to week. And if you miss them as the show comes out live, you can always go to the highlights section on our Instagram, find the episode number, and you can watch it as you listen at any time. It lives there forever. If you already know about all that, you can follow us on Twitter, Imperfect Strangers. You can join us on Patreon. I think even the lowest tier, on the lowest tier, you get access to our newsletter and to join our Discord, which is always nice. There's plenty of lively discussion there with many of our old school Imperfect Stranger friends. So if, see there, I know that door's not about to open. Please just go. I will wipe you when I'm done. Okay. I can't even do a 2-minute outro. It's literally been 1 minute and 30 seconds and I was interrupted. Anyway, listen to the show. Thank you so much. Follow our Patreon. Follow us on social media. Keep washing your hands. Wear 2 masks, motherfucker. I don't care what nobody say. I can't deal with it. You better start dealing with it because school's gonna be fucked up. The world's gonna be fucked up. Delta is more transmissible. Please wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Stay the fuck inside. Get your supplies ready, bitch. The earth is on fire.